Please join me in prayer. Holy God, we ask that today you nourish us with your good word. We are hungry to be filled with the Spirit. Open our hearts and minds today as we hear your word, as we proclaimed and filled with us the burning light of your love, so that we can be more faithful disciples of Christ and stewards of your creation. Amen. Our Psalter reader today comes from Psalm 91. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that strikes in the darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High and dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them with long life. I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading for the morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at the 25th verse. Listen now for God's word to you. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They never sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in his glory has not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will I eat, or what will I drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of the Lord. This morning, I want to ask you to think about this dollar bill. And no, this isn't a stewardship message. I want you to think about the declaration that we make about God and our lives on this bill. the declaration that's printed on every one of these bills. I know you know what it is. Someone shouted out. In God we trust. Do you think about that when you use one of these bills or several of them nowadays to purchase goods and services? Probably not. I know I don't. But do you trust God? I mean, do you really trust God? Do you trust God with life, with all of life? Do you trust God as much as the person who wrote Psalm 91, which Amy just read to you this morning, the way he trusted God? Do you trust God as much as Jesus calls us to trust God in the gospel reading I shared with you, a portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount a few minutes ago? Before you try to answer that question for yourself, I think we need to consider the difference between faith in God and trust in God. Faith is a gift that God gives each of us. Each of you has received that gift, or you wouldn't be here this morning to worship or streaming the service online. The Hebrew New Testament book, Hebrews, defines faith with these words. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The conviction of things not seen. That means that through faith, we believe that God exists. Through faith, we believe that God created this world we live in and created each of us somehow mysteriously in his own image. Trust, on the other hand, is something we have to work for, something that's built up over time. It begins with some fundamental understanding and some fundamental knowledge of God's story as recorded in Scripture. And it also relies on us knowing something about people who encountered God in their lives in the Bible. But it also requires us to rely on our own personal experience. Our own personal experience with God acting in our lives, looking back over our lives from time to time, and in faith recognizing that God has done some significant thing in your life at just the right time. You might say that trust in God is something that we have to build over time, a lifelong endeavor. So this morning, I thought it might be useful for us to consider two people in Scripture that trusted God, to look at their story, to see what trust in God really looks like and how it works in their lives, and draw some inference from their experience to our own experience in trying to trust God more fully in our own lives. So the first person I've selected to consider is Abraham. Now, I know you know Abraham and Sarah's story, how they were elderly and they had no children of their own, and God granted them the gift of a child. And Isaac was born. And when after Isaac was born, God came to Abraham and called him out of his tent one night and told him to look up at the night sky, at all the stars. And God made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many generations, more generations than there were stars in the sky. And the pathway to those generations would go through Isaac. But then several years later, God came to Abraham again and told Abraham to take Isaac and to go to Mount Moriah and to build an altar there and sacrifice Isaac on that altar to God. And faithful Abraham got up the next day, packed up some supplies for the journey, took a few servants with him, and headed off with Isaac to Mount Moriah to follow God's instruction. And you know the rest of that story, how Abraham came that close to killing Isaac and making that sacrifice, just as God requested. And God interceded and stopped him, and Abraham sacrificed a ram in his place. And that now we and the Hebrew people remember that story as a testimony to just how faithful Abraham was to God. But what about Abraham's trust? Well, that story shares that trust as well. It shows itself a little before the actual sacrifice. When Abraham and Isaac were at the base of that mountain, getting ready to make the climb to build the altar and to do the sacrifice, Abraham turned to his servants, and this is what he says, as recorded in the book of Genesis. "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. And then we will come back to you." When Abraham says those words, he has absolutely no idea what God is going to do up on that mountain. He has no idea, no clue of what God will do when he tries to make that sacrifice. But Abraham is trusting God. He's fully trusting God to keep that promise that God made to him that Isaac will be the pathway to those generations. And Abraham knows that somehow, some way, God will allow them to come down that mountain together, and he and Isaac will go home together. Now, the second person that I thought we should consider is Gideon. Gideon is another Old Testament person. He was a judge in Israel. He was also a military man, and God came to him and told him to assemble an army of Hebrew fighters to rise up against the Midianites. The Midianites had been attacking Hebrew villages, stealing what they could, and burning the villages to the ground. God had enough of that and wanted Gideon and his men to wipe them out. So Gideon assembled an army, and the day that he was preparing them for the battle, God came to him and said, "Gideon, you have too many men for the battle." And Gideon trusted God and sent some of his men home. And the next day, the same thing happened. They were preparing for the battle, and God said again, "Gideon, you still have too many men." And Gideon trusted God again and sent some of the men home again. When it was all said and done, he had just 300 men to go up against over 1,000 Midianite fighters. But God assured him that he had enough men, that number was necessary so the Hebrew people would understand that God was responsible for the victory. And so that very night, Gideon and his men attacked the Midianites, and while they were sleeping, and the Midianites were thrown into such great confusion by God that they were killing each other. And the ones that escaped, Gideon's men, hunted down and killed them as well. And so the victory was achieved. And that's a testimony to how Gideon trusted God. But in Gideon's case, we need to know the rest of the story. Because when Gideon returned home, the people wanted to make him a king, and he refused. But then his story takes a strange twist. Instead, Gideon asked the people to bring him one gold earring from every one of the Midianite fighters that had been killed. And the people responded and brought him those gold earrings. And Gideon melted them down and made an ephod, an idol. And the idol that he made was responsible for drawing the Hebrew people into idol worship when he died. So what do these two stories of men trusting God have to say to us about our efforts to try to trust God in our own lives? Well, in Gideon's case, I think his story is a very good warning to us of just how fragile faith and trust in God can be, especially when life becomes difficult. We really have to strive to hold on to that faith and that trust that we have in God, remembering that each of us is held in God's hand, and God will not let us fall. And Abraham's story, just as Abraham didn't know what God was going to do up on that mountain when he went to make that sacrifice, so with us, when trouble strikes, sometimes it seems when we offer prayers to God for help, sometimes it seems that God is far off. Sometimes it seems that God is not listening, or certainly not responding to our prayers. And when that happens, we have to remember to keep our eyes open and not close them in despair. Keep them open to look around you, to look around you to see what God is doing in your life, because God is always working for our good. And lastly, I would want you to remember something I learned from Pastor Lisa, our interim pastor here for 2 years, several years ago now. In one of her Bible study sessions, she said one day, if God would sum up everything that he was trying to tell us in Scripture in some simple phrase, it would be, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. This morning, I would like to add 2 words to that phrase. I think God would be saying, do not be afraid. Trust me. Do not be afraid. Trust me. Now, in this country right now, we are really struggling. We seem to be in great turmoil. It seems that every day falsehoods abound and truth is hard to discern. It seems that each new day seems to bring a new piece of chaos in life. It seems that each day we seem to stray further and further away from what God calls us to be as a blessed nation, a nation called to be a blessing to the rest of the world. It seems that each day we seem to be slipping further and further away from what we're called to be as Christians, called to be faithful Christians that welcome the stranger, that care for the poor, that feed the hungry, and that care for those who are sick. If you're praying about these things, if you're earnestly praying for God's help with these things, remember that God is always there, that God is always ready to help us. Remember to not close your eyes in despair, but keep them open and to be ready for what God might be doing for us, helping us with those prayers. Keep on praying. Keep on praying because the God you believe in, the God you have faith in, the God you are earnestly trying to trust, is also the God who keeps his promises. The God who keeps his promises even when it meant dying for you. Amen and amen.